I want to invite you this morning to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to be in verses 14 through 30, looking at the parable of the talents. While you're turning there this morning, let me give you some idea of the direction that we'll be taking for the next couple of months. Next week, we'll be looking into God's Word, affirming what Scripture teaches about human life and its value and its importance. And the following Sunday, the 27th, I have invited Steve Ellis with Quest Ministries to be our guest preacher. Some of you may recognize his name. He was a guest speaker at the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast last Thursday and just had a great message that was a challenge. Some of you were there. I went straight to Steve that morning and I said, I'd like for you to come and share this very message with our folks just as soon as it's possible on your calendar. And so he was available on the 27th, and so Steve will be with us on that Sunday. And then beginning in the month of February, we're going to start a series of messages out of the book of Habakkuk. So I'm telling you now so you can find where it is. I'll give you, okay? Give you a hint. It's in the Old Testament. He is one of the minor prophets. It's interesting that, back in the Christmas season, we were looking at the roles of a prophet, a priest, and a king. And most of us are familiar with the fact that a prophet's role was to hear a message from God and then to share that with God's people. Habakkuk's a little bit different. He heard a message from God, and it concerned him so that he went back to God and said, I don't understand this. And God said, trust me. And so with that study, I am hopeful that we'll understand and know that we serve a God that even in the most unlikely of circumstances, in times that we can't fully grasp and understand, He is at work, and the message is the same today. Trust me. And so that's where we'll be headed in that study of the book of Habakkuk. Well, today I want us to look at this parable that Jesus taught on talents. Beginning in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, let's not read through this and miss out on the context of what Christ is teaching. He says, the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about God's kingdom work. That it is structured or reflective of what this parable. And let me remind you, a parable is a story that is to be laid alongside a truth to help us understand that. This is not necessarily a story that Jesus is telling that has historical context. He's just telling a parable or a story to teach a truth, to teach a spiritual truth. And so with that, he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants. And I want you to pay attention to that word own. There's a relationship there. And he delivered his goods to them. One, he gave 5 talents. Warren Wiersbe says that 1 talent is equivalent to 20 years' salary. Wow, right? I mean, this is a lot of goods. 1 talent, Warren Wiersbe, 1 talent is equivalent to 20 years' salary. This servant was given 5 talents. To another, he gave 2 talents. And to another, he gave 1. To each according to his own ability. Now there again, there's something I want us not just to read and miss. That in this story, the master gave according to the servant's ability. I mean, to give a servant who had the ability to administer 1 talent, to give him 5 talents would be unfair, would be unkind, would be overwhelming. And to give a servant who had the ability to administer 5 talents, to give him 1 would be poor stewardship. Does that make sense to you? And so he's saying, look, that the master, these were his servants, they were his own. Out of his resources, he gave to each one, to 1 5, to 1 2, and to 1 talent, according to the ability of the servant. And then it says, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them that made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have at least deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so here Jesus is speaking of this truth regarding kingdom work and regarding stewardship, if you will. I've entitled this message, Hide or Seek, not Hide and Seek. Before the days of electronics, children learned to play hide and seek. I don't know if that's the game they play today. This is not hide and seek. This is hide or seek. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, if you read prior to this encouragement from Christ, this challenge from Christ, to seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things that were said prior to that was that, you know, don't worry about what you're eating, don't worry about shelter. I know you have need of these things. And how we can busy ourselves today with addressing the basic needs of life. And it consumes our life. It consumes our life to the point to where we take the talents, we take the abilities that God has given us. And in turn, rather than seeking the kingdom of God, seeking first the things of God, advancing His kingdom work, if we're not careful, we focus on these temporal things. And we hide. Not intentionally, but it's hidden. You know, God's Word tells us, Jesus Himself during His earthly ministry, you do not take a light and hide it under a bushel. You expose that light. And I would submit to you today that the very instruments, the very talent, the very tools that you use to seek, you can also use to hide. For example, a shovel. I can use a shovel to hide something. That's what this servant did. He dug a hole and he put the talent in there and he covered it up and it was hidden. And you know what? He was done. He was finished. But if you're seeking and you can use the same instrument, you can use a shovel and you can look, you can seek, you can pursue. The talent, the tool is the same. It's what you do with it. And so while there were differing degrees of talents, 5, 2, and 1, they were all recipients of a talent. But they used it differently. And I would submit to you this morning that if you're here and you name Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been a recipient. God has given you physical abilities. And God has entrusted you with spiritual giftedness. Everybody has at least one spiritual gift. The question is, are we using that treasure to pursue and to grow and not only to know Christ but to make Christ known, or are we hiding it? With that, let's look this morning at this parable. And the first thing I want us to realize is that we today, right now, we are living in a time of responsibility. We are living in a time of responsibility. Look with me back in our text in verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he had received 2, gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Now here's what I want you to see in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And when you think about the day and time in which we live, that known as the church age, folks, we are living between verse 18 and verse 19. Okay? I mean, he says a period of time. He says in verse 19, a long time. And so that would represent, this parable is to us today. And to recognize the fact that we are living in a time of responsibility. There is a long period of time between that of what is known as the beginning of the church age at the ascension of the Lord, and then the end of the church age at the rapture of the body of Christ. And so during that time, there is that time of responsibility we are living in at the very moment, even as we speak. And so with this, we can discern that in this time of responsibility, the Lord has trusted us, as this master trusted his servants. The trust that was committed to the servants. You know, it's always amazed me that the Lord would trust us with his wealth, with his mercy, with his grace, with his love, with his forgiveness, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That the Lord has, as stewards, has trusted you and me with this talent, with this resource. Again, the resources committed to our trust during this day of responsibility is his word, his mercy, his grace, his love, his righteousness, his wisdom, his truth and knowledge. But with this comes the responsibility of investing it. Taking through our abilities and our giftedness and investing the wealth of heaven in the lives of others. You know, one of the things that oftentimes when we are encouraged or challenged to serve in some capacity, our response is, well, let me pray about that. Now, that's a good answer, isn't it? I mean, who could argue against, let me pray about that? But the reality of it is, and I advocate, we need to pray and seek God's leadership and direction. But a lot of times, we've already had our minds made up. We've already got our minds. As soon as that person asks, or that opportunity, that door is open, we've already got our minds made up. But that's just a natural response. I want to hear God call. I want to hear God speak. And a lot of times, we're looking for God to speak in a huge way, aren't we? God, write it on the wall. Make it known. I mean, it's the work is about the things of the Lord. And so we know that it is something that, as a body of believers, that we need to be a part of. But individual, a lot of times, God, I need to hear it loud and clear. Let me share with you in the Old Testament a couple examples of how God speaks. And see which one you can relate to. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. On the morning of the third day, thunder roared, lightning flashed, and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from a ram's horn, and all the people trembled. Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln. And the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God thundered his reply. Well, that's a lot of times we want God, you know, speak in a loud, clear way. God thundered his reply, but the Lord came down on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. I mean, what would you do? Huh? Just show me the mountain, right? But look at this experience in 1 Kings chapter 19 with Elijah. Elijah had had victory, but in his victory, he was threatened. With that threat, fear overcome Elijah, and he went and hid. And as the story goes in 1 Kings 19, verse 11, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it. And he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and he stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah? He was afraid. And I want you to know this morning that one talent servant was afraid. And out of fear, he hid that talent, what God had given him. I don't know how it is that God speaks to you other than this. God speaks. He's a personal, intimate God. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through prayer. He speaks through the body of Christ. He speaks through circumstances. The thing that I would say to you is I have through the years, you ought to always measure what it is that God is speaking to you about in light of His Word, because He'll never compromise His written Word. He'll never compromise it. But the reality of it is that God speaks. Sometimes we are looking for God to speak in some great way, in an undeniable way, like He did with Moses. When the reality of it is, as it says in the experience of Elijah, He was not in the earthquake, He was not in the wind, He was not in the fire, but it was in a still, small voice. And folks, this is the truth that I want all of us to take away from this. God, in this time of responsibility, is an active God who is pursuing you and pursuing me and pursuing around us through His mercy and grace. And as He draws us to Himself, as we are pursuing a deeper relationship with Him, as we are seeking the things of the Lord, we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see that in the example of how these talents were managed. You see the management and the investment of this trust. In verse 16, it says, the one who received five talents traded and made another five. In verse 17, it says, the one who had two, he gained two more. Again, by seeking rather than hiding. So you have the example of a diligent and faithful servant compared to the resistant servant. An example of a resistant servant. Where in verse 18 it says, but he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And so we need to understand, folks, this time we live in is a time of responsibility, where we one day will give an account, and that's where we're going, is to a time of accountability. That a time of responsibility leads to a time of accountability when we will answer. Verse 19 again, it says that after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. What a blessing. Amen. The excitement that this servant of the Lord would have. Now, I'm going to have time to go far into this, but there's differing opinions about this parable. But some that I respect highly, and one that I have a tendency to lead to, is what you're witnessing here is called the judgment seat of Christ, where these servants are given account to their master who's come back. It is reflective of the fact that as a church, as the body of Christ, that one day we will give an account for that which we have done with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the abilities and the talents that He has given us individually and in how we have used those. And here you see the one who had tremendous ability and God entrusted, or the steward or the master had entrusted with five talents. And then verse 21, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 22, he also who received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. Likewise, he commended him and basically gave him a promotion, if you will, an advancement. And so, in this time of accountability, there will be joy and reward for the faithful. Paul describes this time of the judgment seat of Christ to the church of Corinth in his second letter, to where those things that we do in this time of responsibility will be judged. Don't be confused. It's not about our salvation. It's about our fellowship and about our service and our ministry. And so there'll be a time of joy and reward of the faithful. But also recognize that there's a time of loss and a time of judgment of the unfaithful. He says in verse 24, Then he who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at least at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Now there are some commentators who say that what the master is saying is that, look, if you had at least gone and deposited it in the bank, I would have drawn interest. But you know what? For the servant to have done that, he would have had to open an account in his master's name. And there are some commentators say maybe he was hoping his master would never come back. Then it would be his. And sometimes, you know, even as a servant, I can take that which God has entrusted me with, and I'm using it for temporal things rather than eternal things. It's hidden as a result of the fact of bringing attention to the things of the Lord. And I'm hoping he never comes back and I won't have to give an account. The Lord, or the Master, said, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given and he will have an abundance. But from him he does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And here's a very troubling verse. Because if you read this, it says, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, clearly, if you study Scripture, this description of the weeping and gnashing of teeth, that is eternal separation from God. And so if you take the position that these were his own, then his own servant, at the end, lost his relationship with his master. There's other scriptures, and I don't have time to develop this. There are other scriptures that validate the fact of my security in the Lord. My relationship with the Lord is settled. It's eternal. Ephesians 1:13 says, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. A seal communicates ownership. It communicates the finished work. It communicates security. And we have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so you can read two different commentaries and you can get two different positions on this verse 30. But I would submit to you that if you take the position that this is speaking of the judgment seat of Christ, which I am in agreement with, then the explanation to verse 30 would be this. That at the judgment seat of Christ, part of the judgment that those of us who hide those talents, is that we'll see the consequences of that. I'll see the people that I failed to share the gospel with. I'll see the results of my unfaithfulness. And that will be the judgment. God's Word says that we'll be saved, that our works will be consumed, hay, wood, and stubble, yet you will be saved. And those who take the position, as which I would agree with, is that this verse is talking about that during that time of the judgment seat of Christ, as a steward of God, as I give an account for the things which I've done in the body, if I've been an unfaithful steward, I will see what that looks like, the unprofitable servant in the outer darkness, having a glimpse of that, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, seeing the consequences of my unfaithfulness. The thing that I would submit to each of us today is that you can take the same tool and you can pursue the things of God, or you can pursue the things of this world. You can seek first His kingdom with the abilities and the talents and the resources. As a church family, we can pursue the things of God, or we can hide them. Again, you can take a shovel, and I can hide whatever, and I'm finished, and I'm just waiting. Or I can take a shovel, and I can seek and pursue the things of God. My encouragement to each of us, and what a blessed time as we begin this new year, is to be those who seek first God's kingdom and use our talents and our gifts and our abilities to grow in our knowledge and understanding of Christ and to make Him known. Let's pray together. As we spend the time in prayer this morning, I just want you to take a moment. How have you heard God speak? Not only today, but as you begin this new year, how are you hearing God speak truth into your life? Sometimes it's obvious. But other times it's in a still and a quiet moment. And would God be asking of you and of me the same that He asked of Elijah? What are you doing here? Hiding. You know, fear can paralyze us. But the gospel can release us and free us. So first and foremost, to those of you that name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, every one of us want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And how we can be assured of hearing those words during that time of accountability is being faithful during this time of responsibility. God has not called any one person to do everything, but God has called every one of us to do something for His good and His glory. So I want to ask you, during this new church year, where are you serving? Taking the natural abilities along with the spiritual giftedness and then the treasure of the gospel itself, and how are you using those gifts, investing yourself in the gospel, into the gospel itself? And if by chance there's any one of us who is hiding those talents and those gifts, and all of us at some point in life are guilty of that, it's a constant thing we have to be reminded of not to withdraw. So this morning, would you spend just a moment allowing God's Spirit to speak? And I am sure that someone is here today that has yet to accept the treasure of the gospel. If you've never personally accepted Jesus Christ, in these moments right where you're sitting, as God speaks to you to draw you in that relationship, if you agree about your need of forgiveness, the fact that you have sinned, God has provided forgiveness through Christ, you can make things right with Him right where you're sitting this morning. So let's take just a moment to respond in prayer to how God has spoken. Father, I thank You for Your Word, which is practical, useful for correction, for affirmation. Lord, I pray that today this truth that Christ taught Himself regarding the servants, that You'll find us, Lord, faithful with what You've entrusted us with. You will not, Lord, give us more than what You've given us the ability to carry out. quite frankly, there may be those of us that have greater ability and yet we want smaller opportunities. So, Lord, help us to find that balance as you speak through your word and through the life of the church, through prayer. Father, I pray that you would make your work and your will known to each of us. And it's in the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen.